This little box is called a mezuzah. Inside this little box is a little scroll that's written by a sefer. Each letter is written carefully with his hand, with ink, with a feather. And it's written in there, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. What are you talking about? What are you speaking about? Hey, don't let him talk. Don't let him talk. Wait, well, we could ask him a question, right? So we're asking him, so let him answer it. Okay, I'll tell you. First, I'll ask you a question to you be able to understand very good. A king, when he's sitting in his palace, he's very important, right? Does the king have guards guarding him in his palace? Of course. The king is so important, he has guards. The guards are guarding the king. They stand outside of his palace guarding him. Everybody knows that. And Uncle smiles and he says, I'm thinking about how wonderful Hashem is, our king, the king of the Yidden, that we sit in our house and Hashem is outside of our house guarding us. I was smiling at how much Hashem loves the Yidden and how He takes care of us. That when we have a mezuzah on our door, Hashem, the King Himself, is outside of our house, outside of our door, and He's guarding us to make sure that nothing will happen to us, and He protects us, and He's outside. He is outside, and we, the Yidden, get to sit inside. That's how wonderful Hashem is. And I was just smiling about that, feeling so close to Hashem, and knowing Hashem will protect me from any bad thing. And the soldiers said, whoa, we didn't know how great Hashem is. We never heard about this. Now we're even more curious about other things about Hashem. Tell us more. And Kinalach, of course, the soldiers forgot all about that they weren't supposed to talk to Uncleus, and he started speaking to them, and he said, look, why don't you join all of your friends, the other soldiers, in the yeshiva, and then you can just not only learn for 1 minute, you can learn for hours and hours a day and at night. And the third group of soldiers went to the yeshiva, and they became Yidden, and they learned Torah, and they did mitzvahs. And Kinalach, when Adrianus found out about all of this, when Adrianus found out about what happened, even to his third group of soldiers, he sat on his throne and he cried and he had his servants come with tissues to blow his nose and he couldn't do anything about it. He was just crying, oh, my soldiers, they've all left me. And that's the end of the story, Kinalach. One time, there was a little boy, and his mommy and tati say to him, we're going to go on a trip. The whole family is going on a vacation. We're going to go in an airplane and fly far, far away. And the little boy gets so excited. Oh boy, I was never on a plane. Oh, that's going to be fun. We have to go far, far away in a plane. The whole family. I could hardly wait. Finally comes the day of the trip. And the family goes on the plane. And they go on the plane. And they start to fly. It's very exciting. This is a very far trip. Now sometimes a plane goes on a far trip. And it takes off. It goes a long time in the air. And it lands far, far away after many hours. And that's it. But there's other plane trips that the plane will take off. It'll fly for a couple hours. Then it'll land in an airport. But that's not the end of the trip. They just have to put more gasoline in the plane. Or they have to change the pilots or something. And the people go off the plane for a while, maybe an hour, maybe 2 hours. Then they get back on the plane and they go weiter. And sometimes on a long trip, they can stop a few times. It depends, of course, about how you plan the trip and to get the tickets and all that kind of a thing. This family was going on such a plane trip that they have to land a few times. And it's a very far trip. And now they land, and the pilot announces on the plane, everybody will have 2 hours to eat lunch. In the airport, there are many restaurants. So have a good time, and we'll see you back in the plane in 2 hours, and we'll take off again. And the Yiddish family goes off the plane with everybody else, and they see these beautiful restaurants, all kinds of different restaurants, fish restaurants, and meat restaurants, and hamburger restaurants, and hot dog restaurants, and pancake restaurants, and bakeries, and donut places, and ice cream places. And the kids are jumping up and down. Hey, Mommy, Tati, we're so hungry. Which restaurant are we going to go to? And all the goyim are going to all the different restaurants, sitting down at the tables and getting menus. And the mommy says to the kids, well, we're going to go over here on this bench, and Mommy made for you peanut butter sandwiches. What? Peanut butter sandwiches? We don't want yucky peanut butter sandwiches. We want to go to the restaurant. I want pizza. No, let's get a hamburger. No, let's get fish. No, I want chicken, fried chicken and french fries. Look at all that delicious food those people are eating. And Tati says, but it's not kosher. These restaurants are not kosher restaurants here. We're a Yiddish mishpacha. We eat kosher. And the kids have no choice but to eat the peanut butter sandwiches. And they drink their juice, and they eat their apples. And all the goyim are coming out, some holding ice creams. Ah, look, ice cream! It's not kosher, and it's not Chalav Yisrael. Okay. Hey, candy bars! It's not kosher, those candy bars. Well, they get back on the plane, and they go flying again for a few hours. And the captain of the plane, the pilot, whatever he is, he says, all right, we're going to land, and everybody has an hour and a half for supper. And then we'll get back on the plane again. And they get back on, they go off the plane in the airport, and again, it's a different airport, of course, and the beautiful restaurants, the people going out, and they're going, the families and the different people are going to different restaurants and different places, sitting down at the tables, getting these menus, and it's nice and comfortable, and all this food and stuff in the windows. Hey, Mommy, Tati, let's go to a restaurant here. Maybe we could find a nice restaurant here to go to. Well, unfortunately, there were no kosher restaurants there. Kids, we have cheese sandwiches for supper. What? Cheese? Oh, we don't want cheese sandwiches. And apples, juicy. That's all they had. That's what Mommy made. And they sat down and they ate their sandwiches and they drank their juicy and they ate their apples and maybe a few bananas and oranges. And the little boy says to Tati, he asks Tati, Tati, you always say that it's so good to be a Yid. And we make a bracha, Shalei Asani Goy, thank Hashem that he didn't make me a Goy. And we're so thankful to Hashem, we're Yidin. I don't understand. The Goyim get to eat in all these delicious restaurants, all these delicious foods and delicious things. And we have to eat cheese sandwiches and peanut butter sandwiches and eat apples. So why is it so good to be a Yid? It's better to be a Goy. Look what the Goyim have. What do we have? Well, of course, Tati thinks, how can he answer his little boy? Well, if he's just going to tell him, you know, we have Hashem, maybe the little boy won't really understand on his level that he's on. He's asking a question. And it's better if Tati can answer him in the question itself. And this is what Tati tells him. And of course, all the other kids are listening, and Mommy's listening. Tati says, when Mashiach comes, there's going to be a seuda, a special meal. And this special meal is going to be for the Yidden. Because when Mashiach comes, the Yidden are going to have Melech HaMashiach. This is going to be the time that the Yidden are going to have all the wonderful promises that the Torah has promised about the coming of Mashiach. And it's going to begin with a special meal for the Eden. And at this meal, there's going to be fish, there's going to be fleishiks, like a big Shabbos tikkun meal or Yontif tikkun meal. The fish is going to be the Leviathan fish that we all learned that in the beginning of the world, the Yavishter made the Leviathan fish. And this fish was already preparing the way for Mashiach coming. It's going to be served by the meal of Mashiach. In fact, where is this meal going to be? It's going to be in a big sukkah. All the Yidden are going to be together in one sukkah. And the walls of the sukkah will be made from the skin of the Leviathan fishy. A big, gigantic fishy. And the delicious fish will be the Leviathan fishy. And the wine is going to be special wine. And the flesh is going to be from the Sheir HaBar. It's called the Sheir HaBar, some kind of a flesh that we're going to have. And the smell of this fish and this Sheir HaBar and all the other things that we're going to have by the meal, the smell of this cooking is going to go and spread out all over the place. Just like when anybody cooks something, the smell just doesn't stay in the kitchen, it goes out, and you can smell it all over. And this is what's going to happen. The Goyim will be in their fancy schmancy restaurants, eating their delicious food like you see in all the restaurants, sitting at their nice tables with all the beautiful foods that they have in their restaurants. And all of a sudden, the Goy, as he's eating his meal, he starts smelling a new smell. Now, you go into a restaurant and it smells, you know, good from all the food. All of a sudden, the Goy smells a brand new smell of some kind of a food, and he says, "Hey, that smells so delicious. I wonder what that is. I don't think I saw that on the menu." "Yeah, waiter, waiter." The waiter comes to the table. "Yes. What's that smell that I smell? I would like to order some of that from the kitchen." The waiter smells also. "Oh, yes, that smells so good. I will go ask in the kitchen what it is." And he goes, asks in the kitchen the cook, "Hey, what is that smell that they smell in the restaurant?" And the cook also starts smelling it. And he smells around the different pots. He says, "It's not coming from my stove." And he goes out to the window and he smells outside. He says, "The smell is coming from the outside." And the waiter goes back to the table and he tells the man that the smell is coming from the outside. And the man says, "Oh, it must be from a different restaurant." And right away, he says, I've got to go and get some of that food, whatever it is." He pays his bill, he takes off his bib, he goes out. Other people see him going out, they're going out. And they're following their noses down the street. Where is that smell coming from? And sure enough, from other restaurants and different places, the goyim are coming out. Some of them are even still wearing their bibs. They forgot to take them off. And they're going through the street smelling, "Hey, what's that smell? What's that delicious food? Let's get some of that. Yeah, I didn't even finish in my restaurant. I just paid and went because I wanted to get some of this stuff, whatever it is. There must be a new restaurant somewhere." And all these goyim are walking down the street, just smelling. Hungry people walking down the street, they're walking out of the bakeries, they're walking out of the restaurants, the waiters are walking out, some of the cooks are walking out, they're all going down. And finally, they get to the place where the smell is the strongest. And they see this big, huge gathering of Yidden. They're all sitting at these beautiful tables. And at the head table, there's a king in a beautiful crown. And one of the goyim say, "Hey, who's that king? Oh, what's going on? What is this? Who's that king? Who's all these people? It's Jews. They have the yarmulkes on the head. It's a harmonica. No, yarmulke. The yarmulkes and the strings coming out of their pants and the women they covered their hair. Yeah, here's the women, here's the men. It's a Jewish thing. But who's the king up there? What is that?" And the kid turns around. "That's Melech HaMashiach. That's the king, the Mashiach. Mashiach is going to be a king. And he's here. Mashiach came. That's Melech HaMashiach. And this is the Seuda of Mashiach. Now, who's all those other Jews up there sitting next to the Mashiach? There's Avraham, and there's Yitzchak, and there's Yaakov, there's Moshe Rabbeinu, there's Aaron, there's Yosef HaTzadik, there's David HaMelech, all the tzaddikim. Little boy, well, what's that on your plate? Is that fish? Yeah, that's the fish. That's the Leviathan fish. That's the beginning of our meal. And the goy smells the fish. Hey, that's the smell. That's the smell. All the goyim are jumping up and down. Hey, that's the good smell. Hoi, hoi, we want some of that fish. And they're jumping up and down. The bibs are jumping up and down. And some of them still had the forks and the knives. Hey, little boy, can we please have a little piece of that fish? Or maybe you can get us the fish. Well, we'll pay anything for it. Hey, here's my credit card. Hey, you take a credit card over here? I don't care how much it costs. Let's have some of that fish. And one of the people that's serving the suit of Mashiach, he says, well, we're sorry, but this is not a restaurant over here. And it's not like you can buy the fish. It's only served for the Yidden that were serving Hashem during the Golus. And, it could be even that the Goyim that were keeping the Sheva... I never saw this. I'm just asking the question to myself. Maybe the Goyim that were keeping the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noyach, as we know, a Goy has to keep the seven Mitzvahs of B'nei Noyach. It could be that they also have a table over there by the Seudah of Mashiach. I'm not sure. It's a question. But we know that when Mashiach comes, the Goyim will also serve Hashem. Except, of course, as we know, for Amalek. What's going to happen to Amalek? They will be destroyed. Because Amalek cannot be brought close to Hashem. They all the other Goyim that will turn to Hashem. Amalek is completely bad. They have to be killed out. This is a mitzvah. Kill out the people of Amalek. Which, of course, we'll find out exactly what that's all about when Mashiach comes, because we cannot do it now. But all the other goyim that keep the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noyach will have a very important place in the world when Mashiach comes. Now, it could be there's a table also for them. It seems that in this story, these are the goyim that were not serving Hashem during the Golus. And they're begging for the fish. Can we please have a piece of fish? Oh, little boy, let us taste that fish. We'll pay you anything for it. Oh, we want at least a little piece. And the little boy is a nice little boy, and he starts cutting off a little piece. And one of the goyim that was next to him, he puts out his fork or his hand, whatever he had over there, and he takes the piece of fish. And he puts it in his mouth. He's so excited. He's going to eat part of that Leviathan fish. And all of a sudden, psh, the piece of fish shoots out of his mouth. It pops out like a popcorn. Hey, the fish didn't go in my mouth. It popped out. I didn't even taste it. What's going on? Well, the little boy cut off another piece of fish and he gave it to him. Again, he puts it in his mouth. It pops out. And another little boy, his friend next to him, cut off a little piece of fish and gave it to somebody else and also popped out of his mouth. And the goyim is saying, hey, what's going on? This is very strange. The fish doesn't even go in our mouth. It pops out before it even gets in. We can't even taste it. And one of the big Talmidei Chachamim that was sitting nearby, he turns around and he says, you have to understand that this meal is not like a regular meal in a restaurant. Even though it's much more delicious than that. But this is not a restaurant, and this is not like a restaurant meal, not even for the best restaurant. This is for the Yidden who are connected with Mashiach and Torah and Mitzvahs. And of course, every Yid is connected with Mashiach and Torah and Mitzvahs. Every Yid is connected with Hashem. Every Yid has... And you know, the Gemara says that even a Rasha who does Avedis is full of Mitzvahs like a pomegranate is full of seeds. A pomegranate is full of seeds. Even a Yid who goes against Hashem has so many mitzvahs that he does. And every Yid is going to be by this meal.
And the Talmud Chacham says to the Goyim, you have to understand, the mouth that ate kosher is a mouth that can eat this fish. But a mouth that did not eat kosher, a mouth that ate not kosher things, is not able to eat this because he made his mouth in such a way that it's not able to take this fish. Why? Because he ate all the foods that are not kosher. And one guy says to the other, yeah, well, we ate in all those restaurants. It's not kosher. I mean, that's the kind of food we ate. So we can't eat this fish. Oh, boy. If only we wouldn't even eat in these restaurants, we could have this fish. It would be worth it. And a guy comes over. He says, I never ate not kosher because I ate only in vegetarian restaurants. It's only kosher. There was no not kosher meat, no chazer, nothing like that. I bet you I could eat the fish. He puts the fish in his mouth, psh, pops out. Hey, what's going on? I don't think that I ate food that wasn't kosher. So why is the fish popping out of my mouth? And the Talmud Chacham says, because there's two ways the mouth goes, in and out. Food goes in. You know what goes out? Words. Now, just like you have to be careful about the food being kosher that goes in, you have to have kosher going in your mouth, you have to have kosher going out of your mouth. The words that you say have to be kosher. The way you speak has to be kosher. If a person told lies or lashon hara, things that were not nice about other people, even if it's true, but it's not nice, all of these things are making the mouth not kosher. And this guy thinks to himself, what kind of language do I use and what kind of things do I say? And that's why the fish popped out of the mouth. And so, kiddies, all these people, the only thing they could do was sit and watch. They didn't eat, but they couldn't even taste it. They could just smell it. And they watched, and that's all they could do. And the Yidden had the delicious sud of Mashiach. And so, Kinalak, when the Tati got done telling his family the story, the kiddies did not complain anymore about the peanut butter sandwiches, and they didn't complain anymore about the cheese sandwiches, and they were not jealous anymore of the goyim going into the beautiful treifa restaurants and sitting down and getting their menus and getting all the fancy, nice foods, because they knew that just a little short time more, if they have to be in Galus even another day and they have to have another kosher sandwich or another peanut butter sandwich, it's just a short time, and pretty soon they're going to enjoy the sud of Mashiach, which will be better than any restaurant and any bakery and any fancy restaurant with all the delicious food that they have. The sud of Mashiach will be much better, and the Yidden are going to get that. So if they have to wait a little bit of time for that, so they'll wait it out. And they didn't complain anymore. And that is the end of the Maaseh. Now that's what it says when Mashiach comes. It says, Ma'adanim nimtsoim ke'afar. Ma'adani means delicious foods, geshmak of food. Ma'adanim will be found like dirt. What does that mean? I'll tell you what it means. Dirt, a person walks on the ground, it's very low. And when you're walking on the ground, you don't think about the ground. You're not thinking, I'm walking on the ground, I'm walking on the ground, I'm walking on the ground. You never even think about it. You're going, you're going to do something. Let's say a person is going to his friend's house to play. You're thinking about the games, you're thinking about your friend, you're thinking about all kinds of stuff. You don't think that you're going on the ground, you're just thinking the main thing, what you're going to be doing, even though you're going on the ground. The same thing when Mashiach comes. Our minds, our thinking is going to be in all kinds of things about Mashiach and the Torah of Mashiach. Our minds will be busy thinking about all kinds of very high things. And all the delicious foods, the Geshmaka restaurants, it's going to be here, of course, why not? But we're not going to think about it. It's going to be like a low thing, like the ground. We won't be interested in it. Okay, we'll eat a nash, we'll eat a good food, but that's not where our chayas is. That's not what gets us excited. Just like when you walk on the ground, you don't get excited. Hey, look, I'm walking on the ground. Look at me. I'm walking on the ground. Oh, it's nothing. The same thing. When Mashiach comes, we'll be busy with Torah of Mashiach, and all the delicious food will be nothing by us, just like dirt. Okay. One time, there were two brothers playing in the backyard, and the Tati was in the house, and he was watching his two sons playing. It happened to be that in the yard, there was a chair, and there was a hole. And the two boys were playing near the chair and near the hole. And all of a sudden, one of the boys pushes the other one into the hole, and the boy cries because he fell down in the hole and he hurt himself. And the other brother is standing on top of the hole and he's laughing. He's looking down at his brother and he's laughing. And the Tati comes running out. What did you do to your brother? Why did you push him down the hole? What kind of a thing is that to do? And the boy said, you know why I pushed my brother into the hole? I want to feel myself to be high and I want him to be low. So I'm much higher than him. I'm much bigger than him. I'm way up here. He's down in the hole. Now the father says, look, you want to feel yourself higher than your brother? There's a different way to do it without hurting your brother and pushing him in the hole. You know what you have to do? Just you stand up on the chair. Leave your brother alone and you stand up on the chair. Then you'll be higher than your brother and he won't be upset. Now, Kinalach, this is a big lesson. Everybody likes to feel themselves very high and very big and very important. But there's a right way to do this and there's a wrong way to do this. Now, if you lift yourself up, you learn more Torah, you do more mitzvahs, you become a better person, you climb up and put yourself higher, then of course you're going to be very great, very important, very high. And if you want to become a big person, that's the way to do it. The other way is that you don't do anything for yourself to make yourself better. You know what you do? You push somebody else down. You push them down. You say, he's no good. He doesn't do this right. He doesn't do that right. That's like pushing a person into the hole. Where you're looking down on somebody else and you're chas v'shalom making somebody else lower than you. Did you change yourself at all? No. Okay, by pushing somebody else down and making them feel bad, or chas v'shalom to speak to your friends and say lashon hara about a certain other person to make him look not good, like pushing him down in a hole, this is not the way that you're going to become any bigger, any better. So you want to make yourself better? Climb up. Then you'll be better. But don't push anybody else down.